317, the glory of God as the helper of his people, from Psalm 118, let us sing the first three stanzas, 1 through 3, of Psalter 317. Scripture reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, the text of this morning's sermon in connection with the administration of the Lord's Supper is verses 10 through 14. Isaiah 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as the driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know, and consider and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth, and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name. He shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, He is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, Behold, behold them, and I'll give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. So far we read God's holy word. The text of this morning's sermon is verses 10 through 14, these words. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, The word of God before us this morning in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 through 14, is surrounded in the rest of the chapter by a striking and strong contrast. That striking and strong contrast is between the one God of Israel, the true, the living, the holy God of Israel, and the vanities of the nations on the other side. They have their gods, and their gods they trust, their gods they worship and serve. And the contrast is so great that those idol gods are here challenged by the living God to show, to produce, to speak and tell of their counsel, of what they plan to accomplish by their so-called power. And yet they fall silent. And on the other side of all idols is the one God, the God of Israel, who is mighty and strong to deliver, who speaks his word and powerfully and effectually carries it all, his entire word of promise. Now, just as stark, just as strong as the contrast in the chapter, this 41st chapter of Isaiah, is the contrast between God's people, Judah and Jerusalem on the one side, and all the heathen and all the Gentiles on the other side. And there the contrast is between the strength and the multitude of those heathen and those Gentiles, and that strength and those numbers focused against Judah and Jerusalem as God's people. Both contrasts. And both have their single and sole purpose in this: the glory of Judah's God, the glory of Jerusalem's God. For he is the God that speaks to his people, his few people, even designating them as his worm, Jacob, saying to them, speaking to them his counsel and his judgment, I will be with thee. I am thy redeemer. I will strengthen thee. I will sustain thee. And because the living God, the one true God, has spoken his word of promise, he will keep it. He will perform it. To the shame, the desolation and destruction of all these enemies, and the wonderful, the marvelous deliverance of the children of Israel. And as strong and as true, as stark as that contrast was between God and the idols and between his people and the heathen and Gentiles, so strong, so stark is the contrast today. We are so very few among and before so many, feeling the scorn, if not the outright hatred, of the many and the great. And yet, we too have the same strong, have the same almighty God declare his salvation to us, giving to us the same promise, the same blessed words, I am with thee, fear them not. I am thy strength, I am thy redeemer. And also we have, with that blessed word of promise, a sign and a seal. Even the broken bread and poured out wine of the Lord's Supper, for us to partake of and know, yes, the word of our God is true. He is our mighty Savior, he is our strong Redeemer. And we are safe in the presence of our enemies, and we have the assurance of complete victory and triumph over them, because our God is the Lord. So we consider then this text under the theme, the Lord's promise to help. We see, first of all, the fearful need, secondly, the comforting word, and finally, the mighty help. The word of God, the prophet, brought to the children of Jacob and Judah in the midst of a dreadful war. They were in the midst of a battle. They're in the midst of a war that raged. We have the conflict identified to us in verse 12. There were those that contended with Israel. They were those that took up war against them. These enemies were bent on the destruction of God's people. They had declared war, and they brought against the people of God their cunning, their subtlety, their devices, their engines, their weapons. They summoned their strength. They summoned their courage and bravery. They summoned their skills in war, all against the people of God, all against Judah, and all against Jerusalem. And what lay in their hearts, the motive behind this war, is not merely conquest. It's not merely dominion. It's not merely to take from another country its peoples for their slaves, to take from a nation its riches, its wealth, to build up their own treasuries. The motivation of this battle is hatred. That motive is identified to us in verse 11. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. This is a hatred, a deep and bitter hatred. The hatred that was bent not merely on conquest, not merely on spoil, but bent on the total and complete destruction of the people of God. Nothing less would satisfy these armies that came to war against God's particular people. We want to see the root of that hatred in the context of verses 10 through 14. What is the hatred? What is the anger that motivates the enemies of the people of God? It is the blindness and the darkness of their idolatry. They have taken to themselves as their helps. They have taken them to themselves as their strength, their idol gods. They all had gods of war. They all had gods of dominion. And they believed that their gods would give them strength and power to conquer and dominate. Now, every one of those gods must try their strength, must prove their power against the one true and living God. And there before them is the right and proper target of that warfare, to be able to defeat the people of God. To defeat the people of the living God is the assurance, is the seal of the power and might of their gods that help and support them. Israel is the proving grounds. Judah is the trying grounds for the strength and power of these armies under their gods to prove that their gods are real, their gods are true. And so you and I must come to understand that same conflict as it rages in the world today against the Church of Jesus Christ. And that conflict, you must understand, is of the same deep, bitter hatred. Not the hatred of God's people so much, but the hatred of the true and the living God. That God is their enemy. Against him they have rebelled. His law they seek to throw off. They seek to live, they seek to walk, they seek to exist by their own power, their own strength, and their own might. And they seek to demonstrate and prove that the one true God is no God at all. So you and I The true people of God, living in faithfulness to him, are in their sights. They are bent, as controlled and governed by Satan, bent on your and my destruction as the faithful people of God. They look for the place where God's word of truth is upheld, and even the battle itself declared. They look for the people that worship the Lord according to his word. They look for the people who testify of God's truth upon their lips and in their mouths as the only truth. And you and I are their target. You and I are their proving grounds against Christianity, against exclusive salvation, against the truth of Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, the only begotten Son of God, the only name which is given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. They desire their own saviors, their own gods, and to vindicate their gods, their saviors, against Christ and against God. They will endure. They will remain. They will triumph even over the judgment and curse of God by their own hand and by their own means. So we see the same conflict, a conflict borne out now more and more with Islam on the rampage against Christianity. The warpath is absolutely clear there. But understand, the struggles of the Church of Jesus Christ to be true and faithful in the midst of the people that surround us. The external Christianity now thrown off, now rebelled against. Apostasy becomes greater and greater in Western civilization. And iniquity, an abomination, is set up in its place. Now, all of that is bent on your and my destruction. But we must ask, what is it about this warfare? What is it about this battle that is cause for fear on our parts and trembling? They are the many. They are the vast, vast majority. And in contrast, the people of God are small and few. Just as small and few as the people of Judah fell before the greatness of the nations when Israel had joined up with Assyria. We have no chance. We are undone. We will perish. But more than simply numbers, you and I must feel, you and I must know the strength of this enemy according to its most bitter, deep-seated hatred and enmity. Their hatred against God is their hatred of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that hatred, as well as on the part of so many, is ours to know and feel even more so from churches in the midst of their apostasy, and individuals who see their Christianity, their apostate Christianity, as true and genuine, that of inclusiveness, that of toleration, that of supporting any way of life one might choose. And you and I threaten that so much. And they feel in their hearts a holy, righteous indignation against true believers and the true confession of God as the only God and of Jesus Christ as the only way to God. And the commandment then comes to you and me. Do you see that enemy? in all their strength? Do you see the enemy in all their numbers? Have you weighed their strength? Have you weighed their numbers against your fewness and against your weakness? There's cause for fear. Do you understand their devices? Do you understand their strength set against you out of their deep and bitter hatred? There too is cause for fear, so that you and I must hear the word from our God, fear them not. Be not affrighted, be not dismayed. There's only one reason not to fear. There's only one reason not to be dismayed. It is the precious and the powerful word of God given to us as a promise. I am with thee. I am with thee. The true, the living, the almighty God as God. That true and mighty God with all his power, with all his might, with all his wisdom, he is with his people. He is among them. And this must be their sole comfort. This must be their only peace in the midst of this warfare, feeling that hatred and knowing their fewness. I am with thee. We think of that practice that we have, that we often say in prayer, Lord, be with so-and-so. Explaining their circumstances before the Lord, laying out their case before the Lord and saying, Lord, be with them. One of the most powerful things we can pray. Lord, be with them. We think of that as a word that is something of a summit. Something of an essence and heart. And to understand that, we have to understand the truth of the covenant. That covenant both as a bond of fellowship and friendship, but that bond as a tie that is active. That is, in the covenant and in its tie, God speaks. God has something to say to his people. And the understanding of the covenant is by his word, by his commandment, he is with them. And they're able to say, I have the word of God to cling to. I have the word of God in my ear, that word of God in my heart. Then I know that God is with me because he's told me so, because he has spoken. But that one phrase is filled up. It's made so full and complete with all the works attendant to it in verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. See, in all these ways, God explains. He draws out the details of how he is with his people. He is with his people as their God. This is God in all his strength. This is God as their help. God as the one who upholds them. Always with his people. So we also speak of it as a blessing. The Lord be with thee. We have it also brought out very clearly as God being with his people as their help. And we see in verses 13 and 14 a very powerful contrast where God speaks these words to his people as the God with them. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee. He takes the right hand of his people in his own right hand. And here he promises he's going to always be saying to his people these words. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee. And these words are to be the comfort of his people. God's nearness to help, God's nearness to deliver. And you and I have the privilege of seeing that truth demonstrated this morning in the Supper of the Lord. That this God is with us. You might think of the table itself, the table that is spread before you spiritually. The table indicated, the table shown by the tables here with the bread and wine on them. A table as set by God. A table spread before his people by the living God saying, I am near thee to be thy God, to give thee thy meat and thy drink. Thy meat to life eternal, thy drink to thy strength. How I help you. I give you this meat. But understand, secondly, what meat is it that God gives? What does he give to be the help and strength of his people? He gives himself. He gives himself. We're mindful of the explanation of the table of the Lord given in the form for the Lord's Supper. It says, what we confess that our Lord Jesus Christ became man. He became a man of flesh and blood to sacrifice himself on the tree of the cross. So in the bread, we have the sign of Jesus' body. In the wine, we have the sign of his blood. And together, they represent our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Think of the language of Isaiah chapter 7 itself. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is, God with us. The table of the Lord, our true spiritual heavenly meat and drink, is God with us, Emmanuel. Signs, pledges, seals that God is indeed and truly our helper. So then we consider the mighty help that is set before us here. What is this help? What is this promise of God that he gives to his people and seals? It is not merely this, I, the true and living God, am with thee. It is not merely what I will do for thee, I will help thee in verse 13. Repeated in verse 14, I will help thee, saith the Lord and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Not just what he will do, but what the result is. What is the result? It is this, those enemies that were before you with all their numbers, with all their might and strength, with all their tactics, that enemy before you so filled with hatred that you could not ignore them, that enemy that was so many you felt squeezed out of the earth by their oppression and persecution, according to verses 11 and 12, go look for them. Search high and low. Look in the valleys upon the mountaintops. Look in the dens and caves of the earth. You will not find them. There's not a one to be found. They are all gone. And you might say, how? How can that possibly happen when there are so many? You have the answer in verse 11. They that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. Ashamed and confounded. They thought their victory was in their hands. They're already rejoicing and celebrating in what they're able to accomplish. And just as suddenly their works were all broken apart. They were confounded. How can this be? They were ashamed. Their works in which they bragged and boasted before are now completely desolate and they are ruined. They shall be as nothing. Verse 11, and they that strive with thee shall perish. What happened? What happened? God kept all his promise. He kept all his word. With his right hand, in verse 10, as mentioned, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God with his right hand accomplished the work in verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. God, with his right hand, made the right hand of his people strong. They who were so few, they who were so bound to be destroyed, they became victorious. They conquered because their right hand was held by the right hand of their God. Their power to battle, their power to hold spear and sword, their right hand to pull back the bow, the hand of God was in that right hand. So they were victorious, so they were triumphant, so triumphant that their enemies were completely perished. They all died in this battle because of this great victory. Such is also the blessed manner of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is ours to partake of as the right hand of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. The right hand of God to save, the right hand of God to deliver and redeem is Jesus Christ. And it is that right hand of God that we receive in the Lord's Supper, to eat, to drink, to receive into ourselves, to make strong our own right hands, to battle, to war, and in the battle and warfare, to enjoy the promise, such a promise, a victory, that it can be said to us, look around, look for your enemies, search and trace for them, you will not find them. All through, all by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee that thou art our God, the true, the living, and abiding God, mighty to show, to demonstrate that thou art God alone. And we thank thee that thou art a God near to us according to the promise of thy word, and that promise realized and fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him whom thou hast given to make us strong with thy might and thy power, and not only given this to us in thy word, but also through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that we might, by faith, eat and drink of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to know by faith his strength as our own strength to battle, our own strength to achieve complete victory through thee, our God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So strengthen us and so bless us as we partake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We turn now to the administration of the Lord's Supper.